And so the writing becomes rhythm, and the rhythm generates the meditative field because you are using a tool as a point of focus.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. We will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder. Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Joel Schroeder, tuning in today from Nederland, Colorado. Today's guest is joining me from London, England. I have got Paul Antonio in the house. Paul, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
I'm definitely ready, Jules. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, really excited to have this gentleman. So many things that I could say. And, you know, for those of you that don't know Paul, he's an extraordinary artist who's been trained as a calligrapher, a gilder, and heraldic artist. And I know you both practice and teach traditional and modern calligraphy. And I know it's so much of the world of that unconventional life. You're going to have to check him out on Instagram and his work to really see the scope of what, you know, I'm referencing. And I know just your background, you know, you were born in Trinidad and the West Indies in 1974, where it definitely sparked some seeds of love and nature and just geography and all those pieces. And I know you've been in London for quite some time and soon to be moving, upcoming attractions. I'll let you announce it if you choose to a little bit later. And I know you also have this amazing, you know, school as well. And you, you know, teach others how to do this work that you do. And I know you've worked, you know, with the Met in New York, you've worked to uncover hieroglyphics, you've had just extensive training, you know, you went to Egypt and all these different places. And so much I can go on to say, but we'll stop there for now. Welcome to the show, Paul. Fill in any gaps that I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Sure. I'm married. My husband's name is Tim, and he recently retired. And we sort of joke that he's collecting his pension, which is wonderful. He's loving it, but truly, you know, he's busier than he's ever been, which is quite funny. We've just sold our house, and we're getting ready to move. I'm not ready to tell people where just yet, just looking around my studio thinking, how am I going to pack all of this up? So a little bit yeah. Worried.
Yeah, well, some exciting times of transition. And yeah, I was just saying before we started the recording that, you know, fitting, I think unconventional life for so many of us, we've been in, you know, a period in whichever way you relate to it with COVID and all these different things. And I think there's a new energy, at least that I experienced, that's moving in the world. And even that movement in so many ways, you know, if you look at your Instagram, you do these beautiful videos of you just literally scribing these messages. And it also reminds me of this movement. And I'd love to know, like, for you, what had you use calligraphy, which a lot of times people just think about calligraphy in a one-dimensional sense, yet I feel like you brought it to life in a whole new meaning. And, you know, what inspired some of that and the creating in this way, and even the videos and the way that you do them?
You know, when I was a kid, I grew up in Trinidad, and I loved the forest, and I would go and stay with my grandmother, and she lived in the middle of the forest. And I would go and play in the forest and play with the animals and swim in the streams. And it was really beautiful. And I really felt connected to nature. And where she lived, she didn't have any electricity. She had a latrine across the yard in the corner that was the toilet. And my brother and sisters, they hated staying with her. And I loved it. And I could see the Milky Way when I went to stay with her. And Trinidad is really amazing. It has great energy. It's really beautifully connected. And that really sort of connected me to nature. And, you know, she taught me lots about the plants and the forests. And then as I around the age of 9, I stumbled across calligraphy and I utterly fell in love with it. And I remember finding this book in Trinidad, and I opened it to this page, and it was this double page spread of the prayer book for Maximilian I done by Albrecht Dürer. And I turned to my mother and I said, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do for my life. And I remember looking up at her, and she looked at me with just utter confusion. And I just sort of thought, oh, how am I going to do this? And things just
yeah
transpired that helped me to fulfill my dream. And you know, eventually I came across the UK. I won a couple scholarships. I went to Reading and I studied letterform history there. And I started to see letterforms in a very different way, because as a calligrapher, you only really think of the writing. You never think about the fonts and the historical type. And so that really broadened my mind. And then I went to Reigate and studied calligraphy, gilding and heraldic painting. And of course, painting heraldry and coats of arms. And my tutors, Gaynor Goff and Gerald Minot, were brilliant. And one of my friends once said to me, "You do realize they're living vicariously through you," because they would say, "Why don't you look at this, Paul?" And they would show me like a manuscript and I would go, "Wow, wow, wow, how do I do that?" And, you know, I cut quills and grind pigment to make paint and fell in love with manuscript production. And I sang as well. As a child, I sang and I'm a bass. And so I could hear the music in the writing. And of course, when you think of, you know, that when you think of the Middle Ages and you think of the scripts written in the Middle Ages, you can really hear that in the writing. And yeah. I knew that there was rhythm there. I just didn't know how to connect it to the writing. And then much later on, when you're young and you're really sort of cocky, you know, I knew my work was good. And I worked really hard for my work to be that good. You know, I'm not just saying I knew my work was good and it was just good. I worked really hard. And I was at this thing called Art in Action, where there were like 300 or 400 artists that would descend on this place in Waterbury in Oxfordshire. And we would have stalls and we would set up and we'd demonstrate. And there was this little boy there. And he came to my table, and I would do this talk where I cover 3,500 years of the Western alphabet in 45 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
And I would pick a letter and I would show how it would change from Egyptian hieroglyphs all the way through to the present day. And this little boy stood there for 3 hours and his father kept staring at him and I couldn't understand what was happening. And the next day the little boy came back. I was like, "Oh, wow, you're back. What do you want?" And he said, I'd like to see the letter again. And I said, "Yeah, definitely." So I did it for him and I handed him this big scroll of paper and he was so happy. And then outside I was going for lunch and I bumped into his father and I said, "Oh, you're David's dad." And the man burst into tears and he just hugged me so tightly. Mm-hmm. And he said, "My son has severe attention deficit disorder. I've never seen him still for more than 10 minutes. He said, and he stood there yesterday for 3 hours, completely transfixed. And I knew that, and that changed me. I knew that I was not here to do the writing. I was only here as an instrument. I was here for the writing to happen through me. And that changed my life. It changed my perspective on my writing. And then I started to do Reiki, and I trained as a Reiki master. And, you know, I teach healing and I do healing with people. And the Reiki really opened up my connection to the calligraphy and the breathing and the rhythm. So I teach these calligraphy and meditation classes. And I see it affect people so dramatically, because writing is seminal to the human condition. Our cities wouldn't exist if we didn't write. And the fact that humans have written for so long since their civilizations began means that it's connected to us in a very special way, and it is connected to our heart chakra. When you write a letter to someone, you pour your heart and your love into that letter. That person feels that. You give a little piece of your soul in that letter. And so when you write, and you write rhythmically and you're breathing rhythmically, you generate a meditative field around you. And that can instigate healing in the person. And that healing could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be mental, it could be spiritual. But you start crying because you start releasing things that you've hidden from yourself and walls that you've built up. And the writing, it's more than just pretty shapes on a page. I think I'll stop there.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, Paul, I've had goosebumps for so much of what you've been sharing. And I've never heard someone speak to it in the way that you describe it. And you're just fascinating is the word that comes to mind. And, you know, I had that experience when I looked at the work that you do, but it's so much more than that. And particularly what strikes me is just, you know, this being a vessel of how I'll relate to it is allowing, you know, the instrument to come through you. And I think so many of our listeners, and that was true for me after the near-death experience that I had, is it was, you know, kind of the shift of life being driven by me to, you know, life really coming through and to dedicating, how do I create the best vessel, you know, the most equipped vessel to allow these gifts and talents in whichever way, you know, there's the way that I might imagine, but then there's the way that, you know, it's like what wants to happen. And then, you know, what you want to have happen in that beautiful intersection. And so how, you know, even combining the Reiki and these other components into your work, any advice that you can give for the listeners who, whether it's calligraphy or whether it's, you know, music or something else, you know, maybe even not even obviously artistic, to allow, you know, themselves in opening up to the vessel? And how have you learned to trust that and to trust the opportunity flow? And then ultimately, you know, to keep going in this path that some might argue, you know, is quite unconventional being a professional, you know, doing the work that you're doing. And so, yeah.
I think the, you know, the thing about what I do is it's writing. Most of us learn to write. And I say most of us, because, you know, a lot of people, they're not literate. They don't know how to write. They don't know how to read. And, you know, I've helped lots of people who have struggled with literacy issues. So, you know, I'm not going to say that we all write, because that would be erroneous. But when you can write, all you need is a pencil and a piece of paper with lines on it, preferably, because then, you know, most people seeing a blank piece of paper just panic. Get a pencil. Don't make it too sharp. Get a piece of paper and write a letter to yourself. Not to somebody who, not to someone you love, but obviously you love yourself. I hope you love yourself, because that's really important. But in writing that letter to yourself, you'll find that it will change so much of your response. So the first line of the letter is normally the most difficult. So I always tell people to start off by saying, you know, for instance, I would say to you, so Jules say, I wouldn't say dear Jules, I'd say, hi Jules, I just wanted you to know, and start off the letter that way. And you'll find that you will stumble. And you'll stumble because you realize, oh, it's just me talking to myself here. And the things that you are hiding from yourself will start to become much more evident. Walls that you've built, emotions that you've hidden, pain that you've suffered, and you've really just hidden away because you refuse to deal with it. You probably won't even get to the end of the first paragraph, and you will be an utter wreck. And the emotion that will pour out onto that piece of paper. And try writing letters to yourself, and you'll find that by breathing slower and writing more carefully and more rhythmically, I always tell students, inhale on the upstroke and exhale on the downstroke. And so the writing becomes rhythm, and the rhythm generates the meditative field, because you are using a tool as a point of focus. So lots of people try to meditate and say, oh, I can't clear my mind, because that's actually quite difficult to do. This allows you, it allows you an inroad into that focus. Because you are doing something, you are committed to it, and you're focusing your attention, not just from your eyes to the point of the pencil, but down through your body, through your arm, through the pencil, down to the page. So there's two points of connection. And, you know, I tell people all the time, calligraphy is connection. It's about the tools connecting to the paper, but it's also about you connecting through the tools to the paper, and you connecting energetically. You know, as you breathe, the breath is a discrete quanta of energy. So by breathing rhythmically and breathing peacefully and carefully, you start to connect to yourself, and you start to connect to your own energy. And this isn't about you giving yourself permission to be at peace. This is about you reclaiming the peace that is already yours. It's in you. You've just misplaced it. And the writing a letter to yourself is so beautiful. And if you can't get to the point where you can actually write a letter to yourself, then just write your name. Take your time, be at peace with it, and breathe with it. And by connecting to your name, you start to connect back to yourself.
Yeah, so beautiful, Paul. I feel like I could just get lost in this conversation with you. And there's so much more I would love to say and share. And there's just so many dimensions happening in this conversation. And, you know, I think there's also, you know, and I love just the practice of writing, because I think we've come into such a digital age that, you know, there's just some people who are like, I don't ever write pen to paper. I don't have pen to paper anymore. I just type on my computer and I just do it that way. And what you're offering Unconscious Lifers, at least in the way that I'm hearing it, is just, you know, not only the simplicity of it, but what happens in that connection. What would you say to those people that are like, oh, I could just achieve the same thing typing in a Google Doc or just digitally? Any perspective you might give that, just as a distinguishment of what you're speaking to versus just say something like that in the technical.
All right. So 7,500 years ago in Mesopotamia, we started to record, the Sumerians started to use cuneiform to record goods and services in order to know how many people existed in the city and how much food they had to feed them. So administration was really important, and the ability to record that administrative information was equally important. Otherwise, people would starve. So we've written for roughly 7,500 years. Up until the last 60 years, we have started to type. So typing only really started to happen roughly about sort of 60 years ago. The majority of the population started typing maybe a little bit later than that. You can't go from a 7,500 year period to a 50 year period and expect a rotation of the muscles in the wrist to cope with moving from holding a tool like a stylus or a reed pen in Egypt to a complete rotation to tapping away on keys. There isn't connection there. And you are not writing on a surface when you type. You are tapping onto something and your letters are coming up somewhere else. There is a secondary stage where your thoughts are having to go through in order to appear on the screen. When you write, you have a direct contact with that page. It's a primary contact. It's not a secondary contact. So writing really helps us because it opens up the muscles in the back. It opens up the muscles in the neck. It allows us to slow down. When you start typing, one of the things with typing is you end up typing quite furiously. How many times have you been typing? And you're like, and you're whereas, totally. You know, when you're writing, you're sort of, eventually you get to the, especially if you use a fountain pen, you get to the point of the fountain pen, and if you write too fast, the ink is not going to flow properly. So you know you have to slow down. And that connection through the fluid onto the paper is really important. I remember the first time when I was at art school, I remember the first time I wrote with a quill. I cut myself. I prepared it myself. I cut it myself. I prepared some vellum myself, and I had to go out. I remember a teacher saying, okay, so it's October, so make sure you go out into the fields and collect some oak galls from the oak trees. And we learned to make ink in the same tradition the monks made it. And the ink is organic. The quill is organic and the vellum's organic. And I'm talking about it, I'm covered in goose pimples, right? And the first time you write on vellum with a quill, with iron gall ink, with all these organic things, everything starts to vibrate at a very different frequency. The pace is slower and you really feel that connection with the monks and them writing the Bibles. And writing is really important, and it doesn't matter, you know, lots of people say, oh, but my handwriting's terrible. Nobody's going to read the letter that you're writing, only you. Take the time to write it and really enjoy writing it. And if you don't want to write a letter to yourself, you know, write a letter to somebody you love. Write a letter to your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your partner, or your child, or one of your children. Write a letter to them and see the response that initiates in you, because as you're writing that letter, you'll find that you get happier, you're talking about something that makes you more peaceful, and imagine what's going to happen when they get that letter. So you're establishing an amazing connection with yourself, but you're also establishing a connection with somebody else. So, you know, I know it's faster to type on a keyboard, but writing by hand, you know, it'll help you. It'll help you a lot more than tapping away on some keys.
Yeah, I love that, unconventional lifers, and even the invitation of finding the fountain pen. I actually personally have only written with a fountain pen once, like, oh my goodness, it's almost a decade plus ago. And so now I'm like, where do I find a fountain pen? I'm sure this is like, you probably have quite a few in your collection, given the work that you do. So unconventional lifers, it's a beautiful invitation to put into practice. And, you know, I think my last question for you, Paul, before we jump into the rapid fire round is just, you know, the art of calligraphy and even where you see the future of where it's going. And I know, I mean, even what it's like for your process, I mean, just to probably study it, you've hours and hours and stuff that I can never even, you know, begin to comprehend. And I even know, you know, you received that one of the 10 art and craft scholarships, you know, which you shared about, you know, earlier in the interview, but just your work is extraordinary and it's true mastery is what it really is. And so what does it take to achieve that certain level of mastery and the dedication to your craft? And I think sometimes, you know, we're in this society where we want a quick fix. You know, if we can't get it, if we can't in music riff the guitar solo that we want after a few times practicing, we're like, all right, I'm done. I'm gonna go on to the next thing. Yet there's something about the patience and the dedication to the craft that, what has that relationship been like for you and any perspective you can offer about that and even just the future of, you know, calligraphy and this type of work as a whole. So it's a two-part question for you.
That's fine. I mean, I love what I do. You know, I get up in the morning and I'm so excited to come into the studio. And the first thing I do when I come into the studio is I say, hi guys, to all my tools and materials. And and I think that's a really great place to start, because I am so grateful for these tools and materials that I have. You know, when I was a child, I asked my mom to buy me some nibs, and she turned to me and she said, they're really expensive, Paul, I can't afford them. And I remember just go running down to the beach and picking up turkey vulture feathers and teaching myself to cut quills because I couldn't afford the nibs. And now I have people sending me product to test, and it's just so crazy. I always thought I was at a disadvantage because I couldn't afford nibs and inks and paper, and I had to make my own. And when I started working professionally, I realized that having had to make my own tools and materials, I understood them in a really in-depth way. I could sense what was going on with the pigments, with the tools, with the quills, with the nibs. So if you can't afford calligraphy tools and materials, don't run out there and waste your money. You can start quite easily with a pencil. In the last 10 years, calligraphy has exploded for the plain and simple reason that it, of all the crafts that we do, it is the one thing that is closest to the thing that most of us do, which is writing. So most people, you know, you're sitting in front of a screen, you're seeing letters, you're aware of fonts all the time. So to make that next leap to something that is art-based, you would think that the next leap would be writing. And so lots of people have been picking up calligraphy because they find it meditative, they find it wonderful and exciting. They love writing with the new tools. And in the last 10 to 15 years, we've had an explosion of tools and materials. So the market for calligraphy is growing. Lots of people are using it as a way to access peace and calm. You know, for myself, I love my historical practice. You know, there are lots of different types of calligraphic practice. There are those of us who are traditional calligraphers. Some of us do modern calligraphy as well. There are people who only do modern calligraphy. There are some people who only do pointed pen work. Some of us work on manuscripts. People do sign writing. So there's lots of allied fields that relate and sit under the umbrella of calligraphy, of lettering. For me, the practice of my craft is about accuracy. So if you really want to learn about good practice, this is how I start my students off. I say, okay, so I want you to do these five stupid little lines to me. I want you to do five vertical lines, touching the baseline and the cap height, just straight lines with a pencil. And at the end of it, you'll see the students panicking because you never think that you think that you could write a straight line. And immediately you're thinking you're drawing a straight line. but you're not drawing, you're writing. Those are two completely different sets of muscles and neurons firing. So already that level of practice, are you actually touching the two lines? Are you breathing rhythmically? Because if you exhale on the downstroke and inhale on the space between the strokes, the two strokes will be equidistant from each other. So your breath naturally generates rhythm and spacing. And so the practice of the craft to achieve that level of practice requires you to really fall into yourself and concentrate on the letters. You're not just making pretty letters. You're making accurate shapes, shapes that are made up of other shapes. So if you can't make straight lines, then the letters that need straight lines like I, N, M, U, V, and W, you're going to struggle with. So it's all about this. So I've been working on this new system, so I'm really excited. This of calligraphic practice, where I firmly believe that if we start teaching students prerequisites like how to write straight lines rather than getting them onto letters, when they come to writing the letters, they've understood the tools, they've understood how to make the lines, and it's just a matter of putting those lines together, and they then make up the letters. So, you know, lots of people think, oh, I have to spend a long time at this. You know, calligraphy practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. So if you're practicing incorrectly, you're going to be ingraining incorrect practices into your work. So you have to understand what you're doing. You have to correct your work. You must self-correct, you know, and you have to be utterly brutal with yourself when you're correcting your work.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you're improving as you're going along rather than doing pages and pages of text and trying to improve by brute force. So there is an intelligent way to practice, and it will help you to improve faster. And it'll also connect you to the work better. You feel the work happening. You know, if you write fast, you actually produce the work slowly. If you write slower, you produce the work more quickly because there are less mistakes.
Yeah, well said, Paul Antonio, everyone. Paul, I feel like we're going to have you back for part two at some point. There's just so much more that I would love to dive into. And let's transition here into this rapid fire round. I've just got a few lightning questions coming at you if you're ready.
Yep.
All right, question number one, fill in the blank. If you really knew me, you would know what?
I would know that you're living your life to the fullest.
Love that. Next question. What is one practice that you do for fun that you feel like is a great pattern interrupt that also helps contribute?
I sing. I love singing.
Yeah, I love that. I am also a musician as well, and it is such a good soul work. Workout for me is how I relate to it. So I love that. And lastly, Paul, what does living the unconventional?
That's a difficult one. It means being happy. It means being responsible. I think the responsibility is a big part for me because I know that I'm studying my craft so that I can pass this on to people. So I'm responsible for what I share with them. And I'm responsible for how they learn and how they enjoy the craft and how they connect to it.
I love that, Paul. Thank you so much. Paul, for those that want to check out your Instagram, that want to check out your work, that want to follow along and stay in touch, what's the best place for people to go and do all?
So you can find me on Instagram at PASCRIBE. That's PASCRIBE. There's tons of videos on YouTube if you want to get started. I have three really great videos on YouTube called Posture, Placement, and Position, and they really help you before you start practicing calligraphy because you have to know how to sit properly, you have to know where the page is on the table, and you have to know how to hold the tool. I have a Facebook page, I'm on Twitter, it's always PASCRIBE, and we have a great teaching academy on Teachable, which again is PASCRIBE. So we have lots of ways to help people get involved with calligraphy. And we have a super community on Disciple Media, the PASCRIBE community. So people can post work and they can interact with each other and really sort of work in groups and work through the scripts that they want. And you know, it's really about helping you guys to get better.
Yeah, so great. We will throw all of those links, Unconventional Lifers, up at the show notes at unconventionallifeshow.com. Definitely check all of those things out. I feel like your world is a rabbit hole of the best kind to get lost in. And so there's definitely a lot there. And yeah, it was so good to have you on the show. And Unconventional Lifers, definitely, you know, check those things out. And Paul, any last comments that you want to add just before we wrap up here?
Love yourself. Really take the time to love yourself. And, you know, your peace in your life is the most important thing that you can have. And you deserve to have peace in your life. It's your life. It's your peace. You don't need permission to have it. You just need to do it.
So good. You heard it there. Love yourself and give yourself that permission, Paul, Antonio, everyone. Thank you so much for being on the show, Unconventional Lifers. Go check this man out, and we'll have some amazing other features and things coming at you all shortly. Thanks again, Paul.
Thanks, Drew.